Well, that's the kind of God we serve. As a miracle-working God. Amen. Oh, yes. That's the God we serve. Said He'd never change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He'll never change. We were singing that song down in a little town called, well, a little community, I guess. I don't know what it is. A little spot in the road. Edendale, Alabama, outside of, well, anyway, you don't know where it's at. But anyhow, another small town. But anyhow, it's a place, literally the first time we pulled in, Brother James, across the road is a cattle field. And all the cows, I guess they'd never seen nothing like us before. And they all came over to the fence to welcome us. Sitting there just watching these two trailers pulling in over there, wondering what was going on. But we've often said, it's so far out in the country that you either know where you're going or you're lost to get there. It's just, it's one of them kind of places, a little spot in the road. But anyhow, we was there and a dear sister, Sister Brenda, one of those pillars in the church. Just one of those, you want her in service. Amen. She's a preacher backer. She's one of those that pushes the service and helps the service be successful. You know what I'm talking about. You preachers understand that. And but anyway, Sister Brenda, before we got there, had been diagnosed with C. diff, is that how you call it? And was very, very sick, very highly contagious, her immune system very weak. And so she was very highly contagious to anything else she would come in contact with. And when we heard that she was in the hospital, and they had her quarantined there. The only person could come in was her husband. He had to suit up from head to toe. And then just the workers at the hospital could come in and see her. And anyway, when we heard this, we was like, oh, Lord, we're going to miss Sister Brenda. We need her in this revival. And of course, we went to praying for her at that point that the Lord raise her up, heal her. And I forget exactly what day it was, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday of the revival. We got wind or word that they'd let Sister Brenda come home, not because she was okay, but just they had done all they could do for her there at the hospital. And so they sent her home and still quarantined where nobody could go visit her. I mean, the word sent out, nobody come to visit. She's still highly contagious, and she's very immune system weak and could catch other things from you. So we, okay, everybody was respecting that, but I believe it was that very night she was at home in the bed. She was so weak, so frail, that to get up and go to the restroom, her husband had to all but carry her, had to just support her and to get her just to the restroom. She was in bed that night, and we were up, and the service was going on, the revival, and we was up singing, and we was singing that song. You did it again, Lord. You did it again. The Holy Ghost got to moving in that little church. Spirit of the Lord got to moving. Saints of God was worshiping. And we didn't realize, but the Sister Brenda's sister-in-law had got her cell phone out of her purse and had called their house. They called Sister Brenda and Brother James. They called their house. And so they were listening. They didn't know what. They could just hear the roar, you know, what was going on. And, well, Sister Diana had us to stop, and I think I jumped the gun on the phone call. I think it happened while we were praying. But regardless, Sister Diana, she felt like we stopped singing, and she said, "Church, I just believe." Sister Brenda and Brother Leo just lived about like this road right down here, and you take a right, you know, there's a road down here. They didn't live, what, half a mile at the most from the church. You could see their roof line from the church parking lot. And so Sister Diana, she was over here on this side, and she said, "Church, I just believe if we'd all stretch our hand that way, God would reach down and touch Sister Brenda." So that church in one accord, Sister Kay, they all stood, stretched their hand towards Sister Brenda's house, and in agreement we went to praying, "God, you can rebuke this. You can raise her up. You can bring her into this revival." And I'll be honest with you, as we were praying, I felt within my heart, it won't surprise me one bit if she don't come walking through these doors tonight. That's the presence of the Lord that was real in that service. We pray. We went back to singing that song, and different ones started being prayed for out in the crowd, you know, just at their pews, just different ones. So Sister Diana turned it over to Sandy. She went singing, me and Rich, and we kept it going. We were singing, "You Did It Again, Lord." And they were praying. Her and Brother David was helping pray for different ones. Well, about that time, you know, like I said, they had windows that you could see through. They weren't stained glass. They were clear. You could see through it. And as I said, if you've seen car lights, you knew it's either a local or it's somebody's lost. It's somebody meant to be there. So we was up on the platform. We was singing, keeping, you know, the song going as they were praying. And all of a sudden, we seen headlights coming from that direction. And we all three talked after church. We didn't converse, of course, because we were singing, pushing for the service. But in our minds, we were watching them headlights. And we thought, if they'd go by and we see taillights, we know it wasn't them. Amen. But if we see headlights and we don't see taillights, yeah, we were expecting it. Well, about that time we saw the headlights and they disappeared. So we look out this side to see if we're going to see taillights. Well, instead of seeing taillights, amen, we saw headlights coming down the side of the church. Amen. We heard the loud pipes on that blue Chevy truck of Brother James's. Blum, 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 you know how they can rumble. We heard them loud pipes as it pulled up over here, and there was a door right there on this, about where that window is. There's a door on this side, and we heard that Chevy truck pull up right there beside that door, and we kept on singing, kept on worshiping, but we watched with expectation. Well, Sister Brenda was in that truck, but she had told Brother James. She said, "Brother James, I'm just going to stay in the truck, and you go in, and you let them know what happened." But Sister Brenda said when they pulled up to the door, she couldn't stay in that truck. She got out of that truck. She came through the door. Amen, with her hands in the air, and she said to us, "The Lord just healed me. The Lord just healed me." Praise God. She went to telling the story how Brother James had brought the phone into the room. Amen. And had laid it there on the bed beside her. All they could hear was the roar of the church praying. They couldn't tell. They didn't know if it was intentional phone call or an accident phone call. But they thought they'd take advantage of it. They knew the Spirit of the Lord was moving. So he brought that phone and laid it beside her. Amen. The Spirit of God hit her, Brother James. She threw her feet over on the side of the bed. She jumped up, went to walking up and down in the hallway, saying, "God's healed me." Hey, man, she put her clothes on, said, "Honey, take me down to the church. I'm no longer contagious. The Lord has healed me." Hey, amen. And he did. I'm here to tell you tonight, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the desire and will of God to show his mighty arm. Amen. To show his mighty hand. To do great things among us. I believe it. With all of my heart, I believe it. Amen, amen. Praise God. It still works. It's still real. God's still able to do what man says is impossible. God is still able. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we just lift our hands and worship the Lord? Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise and we give you honor. For you alone are worthy to be exalted. You alone are worthy to be praised. Amen. But we worship you tonight. We give you glory and honor and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Praise God. Praise God. It's still real. It's still real. The devil tried to steal Sister Brenda's victory. She was fixing to go cook at a camp meeting. So she said, "I got to have proof that I'm healed for them to let me come and cook and to know I ain't contagious." So she went down to a clinic, told them what had happened. The Lord had touched her and healed her. That nurse looked at her and said, no, it didn't. You still got it. She said, well, I want blood work. I want the test run. I want proof. I know God's healed me. So they did it. Supposedly did it. 15 minutes so, that lady comes out and says, you still got it. You're still contagious. So she leaves. She tells her husband. She said, James, I know. I know God healed me. I don't care what that test results was. I know God healed me. So she just decided she'd go down to her doctor and let them run another clinic or something and let them run the test to go to a different one. So she went in there and she told that lady, I had C. diff. God healed me. I need proof. I just need y'all to, you know, run the test and let me know. So they did the test. Sister Brenda just stepped over to the side and kept standing there. And the nurse come in, seen her still standing there. So she said, ma'am, is there something else I can do for you? She said, well, yeah. She said, I'm waiting for my test results. And she said, we can't give you the results to that test today. That's going to take, it could take up to 2 weeks to get the results on that test. There's no way you can have that. She said, well, I just had it ran at such and such clinic. And they came out and told me in 15 minutes that I still had it. And she said, I know I don't. And I wanted to get a second opinion. And that lady said, oh, no, they lied to you. She said, there is no way they could run that test and have the results in 15 minutes. They're going to have to send that one off, amen, to get the test results. Well, you know the answer to it. Amen. When the time came, the test results returned. The phone rang, said, you're clear. You don't have C. diff. Amen. Never wanted to steal that victory, but she stood on her faith and her trust in God. Amen. And God proved the devil a liar again. Praise God. Whose report you going to believe tonight? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. All right. Galatians 6. In verse 9, the Bible said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Will you ask the Lord to anoint His word? Anoint me as His messenger in your heart and your ears to hear. Father, we come to you again tonight. We're so thankful for the presence of the Lord that we feel. We thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. God, we're here tonight to deliver the message that you've laid upon our hearts. Lord, I'm asking you for the anointing. I'm asking you for physical strength. I'm asking you, God, to give us liberty in our minds. Help me, Lord, to be able to say every word, that it'll be fitly spoken. God, that it'll be apples of gold in someone's heart and life tonight. Lord, I'm asking you to minister to each one. Let their hearts be anointed to receive. Let fruit come forth from your word tonight. God, I'm believing you to confirm your word with signs following. In Jesus' name, we're believing you for it. We're trusting you for it. We give you the glory in advance. Amen. For we ask it all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen and amen. Thank God. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to preach tonight on a thought that's worked on me for quite some time, and I just had never felt the freedom or liberty to preach it until this week. I want to preach tonight on don't faint in waiting. Don't faint in waiting. I want us to know tonight that it is possible to feel faint or to be faint while waiting. It's possible to feel that emotion of faintness, weariness, dizziness, almost unconsciousness, while waiting. That, using that faint while waiting, it is an adjective meaning. It means to be weary, weak, dizzy, close to losing consciousness. To faint in waiting is a noun meaning a sudden loss of consciousness or to lose heart. Amen? If you faint in waiting, can I just say it this way? You're toast. You passed out. You've given up. But if you have that feeling to faint while waiting, you are simply weary, tired, dizzy, or weak. Amen? So it is possible to have the feeling to experience faintness while waiting upon God to move in your stead. But God help us that we are never guilty of fainting in waiting. Amen. Can I use this? Hopefully it'll clear it in your mind, the point that I want to get across to us tonight. Let's take it several years ago. Nowadays, you have an expecting mother and it's time to deliver the child, and the dad and the mother and the whole community, if they want to, can go in the delivery room, right? I think it's ridiculous, but they can't. Anyway, but let's roll it back in time. And when I was born, they didn't go in the room. It wasn't nobody but the doctors and nurses and the mama, amen, giving birth to that child. That daddy be sitting out in the waiting room. Amen. There may be 3, 4, 5, whatever, 10 dads, depending on the size of the hospital, if it's a big one, a little one. Amen. There'd be several daddies sitting in that waiting room, waiting on that baby to be born, waiting to get to go back, see that newborn child, see that wife of theirs. Well, you take that daddy in that waiting room. What do you see in that dad? You'll see some nervousness. You'll see that daddy maybe twiddling his thumbs or wringing his hands. You know, he's... You let an hour or two pass by, and that daddy, he might get up from just, you know, wringing his hands to walking the floor. And you might observe that father, and you could experience some weariness starting to transpire in the mind of that dad. And he's wondering, Lord, how long is this going to take? And when are they ever going to call me? And, you know, the nurse comes in, calls another dad's name. He gets up. He goes out. But that one, he's still in there. He's not hearing any news. No words come. Amen. And then one by one by one, the other dads are called back, and he ain't called back. Amen. You can begin to sense some weariness, some faintness, if I can use that term, that feeling of being faint and weary. Amen. What's going on back there? Is everything all right? Amen. But if you was to come in there and ask that daddy, amen, sir, it just looks like it's not going to take place for you. Why don't you just go home? Why don't you run down to the Walmart and go to the fishing department and go ahead and look for a new rod and reel or something like that? That daddy look at you and say, oh, no, man. No, sir. I ain't going nowhere. Amen. Aren't you getting a little faint? Ain't you getting a little weary? Oh, I'm getting a little faint and weary and waiting, or while waiting. Amen. But he'd look at you and he'd say, I don't care if it takes all night long. I don't care if it's a day or two. I ain't going nowhere. I may be weary while waiting. I may be faint while waiting, but I will not be faint in waiting. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't about to walk out of that room. Amen. He's sitting there with full confidence and expectation that very soon that nurse is going to walk through the door and call His name, and that which he had been waiting for, amen, was going to be laid in His arms, and a smile would come on His face, amen, for the victory had come. How was it? It would be because he did not become faint in waiting upon the blessing that was coming to him. Can we turn to Kings? Let me turn over to 2 Kings chapter 4. Amen. The Bible is telling us about the prophet and how that he come to this house. Elisha came to the house of the Shunammite woman. They had built him a little room, put him a bed there, a table, a candlestick. And upon this blessing being given to him, he asked his servant, oh, what could we do? Has anything been done? Amen. For this woman, for what she has done for us. Is there something that they need? Put in my own words. And his servant said to him, she hath no child, and her husband is old. So the prophet said, call her in. She comes in and she stands before him. Amen. In the doorway of that room. And he tells her, ma'am, about this season. According to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. She had received that promise. It had come to her. It came to her and her husband. They had that baby in their arms. But the Bible goes on and says, but when the child was grown, when he was no longer a baby cradled in her arms, but he was big enough to go out with the reapers to the field with his father. He went out to the field. There that child was with his father. And working, amen. And he cried, oh, Father, my head. My head, amen. Oh, I feel sick. Something is wrong. Amen. The father turns to a lad there and tells him, take the young child, carry him to his mother. And he brought him to his mother and set him on her knees until noon. And then he died. What did that mother do? Did she call for the mourners to come? Did she take him, wrap him in clothes, amen, grave clothes, say it's time for a burial procession? No, that's not what she did. But that woman's faith stood the test when the Bible said she went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God. And she shut the door upon him and she went out. What was she saying? I am preparing him for a resurrection, not for a burial. I am preparing him to be resurrected rather than to be buried. Amen. What is she saying? Man of God, you gave me a promise. Did I not say unto you, don't lie to me? Amen. I want us to understand tonight that mother had every room and every right to faint and lose heart. She had every room, every reason, every right to be weary while waiting upon the man of God to come. Amen. But that woman did not faint in waiting. She said to the man of God, I'm not going to leave without you. You're going to go with me. Why? You gave me a promise, and I believe that promise will be resurrected. I believe that promise will not remain a dead, cold corpse. Hey, man, can I tell somebody tonight, it doesn't matter if it looks like your promise is dead. You need to dust that promise off. Hey, man, it doesn't matter if it looks like your promise is not going to be fulfilled.
I want to tell you tonight, you may feel faint and you may feel weary while waiting for that promise to be fulfilled in your life. But friend, never give up. Don't faint in waiting. Don't faint in waiting. When God gives a promise, it's a promise. When God gives a promise, it's a promise. I ain't going to get ahead of myself here. I could, but I'm not going to. Amen. I'll get it in just a minute. But the Bible tells us, you mentioned them a while ago, that promised land. God already told them, it's yours. God already promised them, I'm going to drive them out. Little by little, but they're going. God already promised them victory. And Moses called 12 spies. And he did not say, I want you to go spy out the people. I want you to go see how many chariots of brass and iron they have. I want you to come back, tell us how many walled cities there is. If you see any giants, please give us a report. That's not what he said, is it? You go spy out the land that God's gave us. You go find out if milk and honey's really flowing there. You go find out if the grapes are so big it takes two men to carry them. Hey, amen. Are you hearing me tonight? You go spy out the land and you bring us word concerning the land. Well, when they got over there, I don't know who it was, which one of the spies it was, but one of them, upon seeing the giants, upon seeing the chariots, upon seeing the walled cities, they manned their heart began to faint within them. They had marched around and they had walked around for 40 years in the wilderness. Many a day, no doubt, their heart felt weary and faint while waiting to possess the promised land. And now here they are. They're right on the border of it. All they got to do is cross Jericho River, amen, and enter into the promised land. Oh, yes, right on the brink of receiving the promise that God had given them. Oh yes, weary and faint and dizzy and maybe discouraged in all of those years of wandering through the wilderness while waiting upon that promise. But now here they are. They're seeing the beauty of the land. They saw it flowing with milk and honey. They saw it because they come back carrying evidence of what a blessed land, a prosperous land it was. But when they saw the giants, they didn't just faint or feel faint while waiting, but they fainted in waiting. They fainted. Their faith dwindled away. I don't know which one of them started the chain effect. But I don't believe it started with 10. I believe it started with 1. All it takes, church, is one person allowing themselves to faint in their waiting upon the promise of God. And it becomes contagious and it'll pass from one to another until when they came back bearing word to Moses and the people of Israel. Amen. 10 of them came back with an evil report. There's no way we can do it. There's no way we can take it. It doesn't matter. I can imagine Joshua. But wait a minute. Silence. Wait a minute. Wait. God promised us we can take it. It's exactly what God said it was. I believe we can. Oh no, Joshua and Caleb. There's no way we can do it. The mountain's bigger than we are. The giants are greater than we are. Amen. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And we're grasshoppers in our own sight. There's no way possible that we can take it. I think Joshua and Caleb could have looked at them and said, the reason you can't take it is you fainted in waiting. have fainted right on the brink of the miracle. It became so contagious. They spake of stoning those two men. I think I already messed up. It was after that they wandered through the wilderness 40 years, wasn't it? Anyway. Brain glitch here. You know your Bible. Amen. You know the story. Didn't mean to get it backwards. Anyway, still the same effect. Still the same effect. David's sitting there. He and his men wept till they had no more strength to weep. They were faint. They were weary. They were dizzy. They felt like all hope was gone. But David said, boys, you can be faint in waiting, but I'm not going to sit here. I will encourage myself in the Lord. I'm getting up from here. I'm going to pursue the enemy, and without fail, I'll recover all. Now, those of you that want to go with me, amen, you can go with me. Those of you that's so faint and you're so weary, you can stay behind. But I'm going after my wife and my children. I'm going after that which belongs to me. Amen. What does the Bible tell us about the promises of God? The promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, when God gives us a promise in His Word, or when God speaks a promise into our own hearts and our own lives, amen, we may get faint, we may feel weary, we may get weak, we may be dizzy while waiting for it to come to pass, but God help us to get a grip upon that promise, and in the midst of it all, declare in the face of the enemy, I will not faint in waiting upon my God. If He said it, He's going to do it. If God promised it, it will come to pass. Reminds me of a little story. The boy and his daddy, they were out in the middle of a lake in their little tiny boat. Storm blew up out of nowhere. The waters became rough. And it capsized that little boat that they were in. Broke it to pieces. The little boy couldn't swim, and they were so far out. The daddy couldn't swim with him and his son that distance for help. So what did the daddy do? He grabbed a piece of that boat. And he put his little boy on it. Wrapped his arms tight around it. And in my words, he said to him, son, daddy can't swim with me and you and make it. Son, I'm going to have to leave you out here, and I'm sorry. But it's the only way we'll be rescued. Daddy's going to swim to shore, and I'm going to go for help. Said, son, the night may be awfully long. It's going to take Daddy a while. The darkness will get terribly dark. You're going to get weary. You're going to get tired. You might even get a little faint. But don't let go of this board. You may get faint while waiting on Daddy to get back. Don't you let go. Because I promise you, son, Daddy's coming back to get you. So that little boy, he got a death grip on that board. Daddy swam that distance, true to his word, all night long. That little boy was out there by himself. All night long, he wondered, will it ever be over? All night long he looked across the horizon, hoping to see the lights on a boat headed his way. Amen. But to his dismay, nothing but darkness all night long, but he held on. All night long, but he held on. Amen. Oh, he looked and he could see the sun beginning to rise over the horizon of the next morning. Amen. But he held on, Brother James. He held on. Amen. Hours now, many hours had passed, and he seen a boat headed his way. Amen. He pulled up beside him, and there his daddy was in the boat with the rescue workers. Amen. They reached down. They picked that little boy up, put him in that boat. Amen. They began to administer first aid care to him. Amen. Making sure that he was okay. As they worked on that little boy, they began to ask him questions. Son, how did you do it? Son, how in the world did you last all night long? How in the world did you hold on all through the night? That little boy looked at them and he said, my daddy told me it might take all night, that I might get weary, I might feel like fainting, but to hold on. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't lose heart, that he was coming for me. Amen. He told them, sirs, my daddy's never lied to me. I believed his word. I knew he was coming. You know what caused me to hold on? Amen. He said, I refuse to get weary and faint in the waiting. I refuse to give up. I knew my dad was coming, and so I held on. Amen. Sure, I got faint. Sure, I got weary while waiting, but I didn't give up in the waiting. I held on, and my daddy came through true to his word. Amen. The promises of God are just as true as the promise of an earthly father. Oh, many of our earthly dads fail. Sometimes they'll make a promise beyond their ability to fulfill. It's not that they intend or mean to fail. It's just too big. Circumstances change and they're unable to fulfill that promise. But not so with God. Not so with God. For in Him it is yea. Amen. It is yea and amen. Who is the amen? The amen is Jesus Christ. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is the first and He is the last. And I'm here to tell you, friend, the promises of God, they will stand forever. You may feel faint while waiting upon that promise, but church, never give in and never lose heart and never faint in waiting. I've been fighting a battle. Physical situation, probably 5, going on 6 years now. I've prayed and I've sought God. Seemed like nothing changed. Situation continued to increase instead of decrease in my life. For probably close to, I don't know how long now it's been, me and the two girls, every night, for the most part, we gather in a circle and we've prayed. We've prayed and believed in God to move this situation in my life. Counting weeks back, it's been about a month ago now. We was down in Macon, Georgia, in revival. It's been around a year ago. Let me back up to that point. We was in Virginia. Anointed me and prayed for me. And the pastor, he said, "Sister Rita, I don't know what this means. But I feel like God just showed me that your situation's going to be like taking a book. You have that book?" He said, "You start the front and you just go, and you're at the back." He said, that's what I seen. It's like your situation's going to be like a book. You just go, and you're at the end. It's over. He said, "I believe that's what's going to happen in this trial. So I've held on. Believe in God. It's going to happen." We've continued to pray, seek the Lord. Was in Macon, Georgia, and revival there. Sweet little brother, Brother Andy, came. He's a prison minister. He goes to prisons and preaches. Man of God, sweet boy. They were praying for the sick again, and Sister Diana told him, said, I'd like for y'all to pray for Sister Rita. She's got a need. We really need God to move in. So they anointed me, and they prayed for me. And the Spirit of the Lord moved, and the pastor just said, "Sister Rita, I believe you're healed. I feel like God's healed you. So I'll take it. I'll believe that." Well, Brother Andy was standing behind me, and I was, continuing to praise the Lord and worship. Sister Diana got my attention. I didn't know he was wanting me. And so I turned around, and he said, "Sister Rita, I've got a word from the Lord for you." And he said, "The Lord's told me your prayers have been heard, and your answer's on the way, my daughter." I said, "All right, praise God. I'll take that promise. I'll take that word." Amen. We was in revival Pembroke a couple weeks ago now, Mount Zion. And I was praying. I'd brought that into my message and had preached about this, how that Brother Andy had told me that the answer was on the way. And I went over to the side. I've been praying with different ones, and I went over to the side, just knelt down, was praying a little bit, and some sisters gathered around me, went to praying. And as they were praying for me, it's like I felt the Lord speak to me and say, "Hey man, if the answer's on the way, then that means it's in route. It's in transit." Anybody ever placed an order? You got a tracking number? You're looking for FedEx or UPS to show up at the door? Hey man, occasionally we'll get those emails that'll say, "Due to bad weather, it's delayed, or something could be delayed in this area," or whatever. Hey, amen. But we know whenever that pack, you can follow it. Amen. You can follow it in transit. Hallelujah. You can tell almost down to the hour it's going to be delivered in some cases. Well, that's what God revealed to me. I seen that in my mind's eye. The next day, I called my mama. I was talking to my mom. I said, "Mama, I want to tell you what I feel like the Lord dealt with me concerning what Brother Andy told me, that it's on the way." I said, "Mama, I felt like the Lord spoke to me last night and said, if it's on the way, that means it's en route to you. Amen. It's on route. It's in transit." Amen. Me and Mama, we was rejoicing, and we had hung up, and Sister Dinah walks through my door with a big old smile on her face. She's been on the phone, or maybe was still on the phone. She said, "Sister Sherry's called, and she wants you to call her back." Hey man, I said, I was fixing some of the dinner and was doing something. Hey man, and I said, "Well, let me finish whatever I'm doing." She said, "You really need to call her. You really need to call her." So I said, "Okay, let me get this through." So I got that finished, and I called Sister Sherry. Hey man, Sister Sherry was shouting on the other end of the phone. She had been talking to Sister Diana, and somehow they began to talk about me. And she told Sister Diana, "Hey man," and Sister Diana wanted her to tell me this, so I'm not going to repeat it twice. But she began to tell Sister Diana, and she was telling me. She said, "Sister Rita, I just want you to know, I feel like your healing, your deliverance is en route to you. It's in transit to you." I went to cry, and I said, "Sister Sherry, what you don't understand is I just got off of the phone with my mother, amen, and I told her the very same words, that it's in transit, it's en route to me. I don't know when it's going to be delivered. I don't know if it's like Daniel, the angels in warfare getting it to me. I don't know, but one thing I do know, God's gave me a promise, and He's going to deliver. He's going to deliver. Glory to God. She shouted. Amen. I just stood there and wept and cried, rejoicing in the promises of the Lord. And then she said, Sister Rita, let me tell you a story. She said, this is documented. And I don't know all of the previous details. All I know is what she told me. I don't know why the situation took place. Those details, I don't know. All I know is the details of what she said. And she said, it is documented by the attorney. This happened. Some situation, a young man, he told this young man, he said, son, again, I don't know why, but this is the deal. If you will agree to spend 10 years in prison without a calendar, without a clock, 10 years, when that 10 years is up, you can get out and we'll award you $1 million. Again, I don't understand the story, but it is documented that this happened. The young man said, sure, I'll do that. I don't think I'd do it. Be a blessing to have $1 million, but I sure don't want to spend 10 years not knowing what day it is. Amen. Whew. But anyway, 10 years. They lock him up. Time passes. Many days he gets very, very weary. Very close to fainting while waiting. But he holds on. He holds on. He holds on. Time goes and time goes. One day the young man goes over to the prison bars and he begins to rattle them. Gets the guard's attention. He comes down to that prison cell. That young man looks at that guard and says, sir, I can't take it anymore. I want out. I'm tired of waiting. It's over. I can't do it anymore. That guard said to him, son, are you sure? Are you really sure you're ready? Yes, sir. I'm faint. I can't take anymore. I'm tired, faint in waiting. That guard said, okay, son, if you're sure, we'll let you out. He said, I want out. They unlocked the door, opened it up, and he walks out. The attorney meets him and says, son, you are 22 hours away. Sister Sherry said, Rita, don't be faint. Don't be faint in waiting. He lost 10 years of his life, and he lost the reward. God's given me a promise. What's he given you? It maybe hasn't happened for you in the same way it happened for me. It might have just been you going to the Word of God, and God gave you a word. But it's a promise nonetheless. And Sister Betty, he's saying to us tonight, do not be weary in holding on. Don't be weary in well doing. Don't be weary while waiting. You plant a seed, it doesn't produce fruit tomorrow. But we're so impatient. We want it today. You plant an apple tree, it's not going to bear fruit for years. God says, you may be weary, but be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you do not faint in waiting. What does he tell us in Isaiah 40? We all know it. Some favorite scriptures of everyone here. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, y'all can come on, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. But he giveth power to the faint, to those that feel weary, to those who are struggling to hold on, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, those that do not faint in waiting, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. If we faint while waiting, my friend, we're going to lose the reward. We're going to lose the promise. We're going to lose the blessing. I'll lose my healing, Brother James. It still ain't been delivered, but it's on its way. It's in transit. It's en route to me. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. As much as I stand here before you tonight, I believe it just as firmly that my God will not fail. His promise is yea and amen. He will deliver on his word. I will not, by the grace of God, faint in waiting. You may be here tonight and you have felt a little faint or weary. Your situation has felt overwhelming. I thought about it today. The enemy comes at us to steal our faith, to plant seeds of doubt within our minds and our hearts. When does he do that the most? While we're waiting and we're feeling a little tired, we're feeling a little exhausted from the battle, we're feeling a little weary and faint while waiting, and he comes to us at that place and he says, you're losing your faith. You don't have faith. You wouldn't feel this way if you really had true faith, if you were really holding on to the promise of God, you wouldn't be feeling this way. I want you to know, we are people of emotions. We are people of emotions. We get physically and mentally and emotionally tired. The burden we carry gets heavy and burdensome. And the devil will tell you, you don't have the faith to move that mountain. You're getting weary. You're getting... Sister Ellen, there's a difference in being weary and or faint while waiting. And there's a difference in fainting in waiting. I hope I've not confused you tonight. I refuse to faint in my waiting. I may get weary sometimes while I'm waiting. I may wonder, God, when is it going to be delivered? When is the answer coming while I'm waiting? Sister Kay, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. I have not thrown aside my confidence in God. I have not cast aside my hope, my faith, and my trust. It is still as firmly anchored in the rock of ages as it was before he gave me the promise. So friend, just because you feel a little exhausted tonight while waiting, just because you feel a little weary tonight while waiting, I want you to believe the devil when he tells you you're losing your faith. No, you just buckle down. You heard that old saying, drive a stake and hang on. drive a stake and hang on? What are you doing? Oh, you get weary with hanging on, don't you? But you're still holding on, ain't you? Amen. There's a difference in being weary while hanging on. And there's a difference in letting go while hanging on. Amen. We're going to hang on to that promise. We're going to stay in there. We're going to let God know. Amen. While I'm waiting, I will not faint in waiting upon you. You will come through for me. You will keep your word. You will keep your promise. Amen. Stand with me tonight, child of God. I believe many of us here tonight or right on the brink of our miracle. I believe we're like the children of Israel. We're right on the Jordan River. I believe we're like that man that was in prison. We're just a few hours away. Just a few hours away. You may feel like the little boy hanging on to that piece of boat. And the night's been awfully long to you. Amen. Oh, but be not weary. Oh, hang on. Don't faint in the waiting. It's going to pay off. Can we find us a place to pray tonight? I believe many of us have burdens. We've got cares. He said, cast them on me. I care for you. I'll bear your burdens for you. I'll lighten your load. I'll refresh your heart. Amen. He said he would renew our strength so that we could mount up with wings as eagles. Run, not be weary. Walk and not faint. Oh, don't be faint in the waiting. Hallelujah. Don't be faint in the waiting. God's in control. God's at work. Praise the Lord.